Hey everyone, this is Rob Motti. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Faith on a Field Show. If you want to hear any of our previous episodes, please check out our website, faithonafieldshow.com. You can also subscribe on every major podcast channel like Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podbean, and TuneIn. Please like, share, and leave a review so others can find out about the show. We appreciate your support, and here is this week's episode presented by Cairn University. Welcome to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. I'm Rob Motti with Remy Motti and Pastor Kyle Horner. We have two guests this week, Milwaukee Brewers pitcher Jimmy Nelson and Ann Byler, the founder of Annie Ann's Pretzels.
Come on.
I love that.
Shout out to Annie Ann's.
I'm about to have now, you know what? It's Thanksgiving week. I'm so fired up about Thanksgiving because I have been waiting for Remy's lasagna for now almost 3 months that we've been doing this really diet, nutrition, whatever it is. So
crazy,
can't
man.
Wait.
I really need
we
my
haven't
pasta.
Had yeah, yeah, we haven't had Thanksgiving at my parents in several years, but since your family's now in Florida, we're gonna do Thanksgiving. So my mom's doing a turkey, Remy's making a lasagna.
Come on,
man.
That's so what I'm talking about. Yeah. That's fantastic.
You gotta have some pasta.
You gotta have some pasta. Right? Totally agreed.
I'm going all out. I'm making baklava and everything.
Are you really? Mom's doing the apple pie.
What time am I coming over? Yeah, okay.
I'm definitely bringing you some. Yeah. It's so good. My baklava is the bomb.
I love baklava.
Let me tell
love
you.
Love it.
Yeah?
Nobody makes baklava like that.
All right. I will put that on the test.
Yeah, I'm bring him a plate.
Okay. I'm in.
You and D are going to love it.
Because, you know, I mean, I'll be outside on Thanksgiving serving people, and it's going to be cold, and I'll need some food.
I'm going to bring you food.
We should be bringing him. Tell everybody about what you guys are doing.
Really cool.
With Thy Kingdom Come, the food truck, the AO1 Foundation, Connect Church, and Thanksgiving Parade in Philly.
It's so cool that, you know, Thy Kingdom Come, in partnership with, you know, Carson Wentz AO1 Foundation, the city of Philadelphia invited us to be a part of the 100th anniversary of the Philadelphia Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Is that right?
So really, really cool. We just did a huge press event in Love Park and fed literally hundreds of people. It was an amazing day. Saw so many people. Saw 77 people at that event come to know Jesus. Amazing.
Thank
on the streets
Lord.
Of Philly.
Wow.
And so that day we're going to be at the parade in the fan zone, which is right at the base of the art museum steps, right at the end of the parade where all the judging goes on. And some 60,000 people come through there. So we'll be giving out free food. We'll be giving out free swag bags with all sorts of fun stuff in it. A raffle to give away.
That's
like
so cool.
Carson's autographed jerseys, some helmets, some all sorts of stuff. Because it's just about how do we help bring hope and love and impact and influence in our community. And so food is people glue.
That's awesome.
So it's Thanksgiving. What's time?
Thanksgiving morning. I believe it opens at 8. So I think it's 8 to 1. It's during parade time. The fan zone, I believe, is free. So you can come hang out. And it's all sorts of vendors that are in there. And come check it out. If you're in the Philadelphia area on Thanksgiving morning, just stop by.
I'm going to make my lasagna the night before.
Come on. It's going to be a lot.
Man, if you're in the Philly, South Jersey, New Jersey, Delaware, tri-state area, it's before football. You don't have any excuses.
Right.
Football don't start till 12:30.
Yep.
You got the second game and a late game later on. So you guys can hit it in the morning, go there in the morning, and also it's before dinner. It's before all that stuff.
I know Dunkin' Donuts is giving us some free donuts there too as well.
Oh,
see what I'm saying?
I mean,
you can come get some of the good
at
TK Shakes.
I've not had one of those in about 3 months.
You have it,
I have not. I watched my kids have them, but I have not had one.
I love the munchkins.
Something like that though on Thanksgiving, Kyle. I know what it entails when you guys are down at Lincoln Financial Field before an Eagles game or whenever you take out the food truck. There's a lot of volunteers. There are a lot of people behind the scenes who are involved in this. Now, they're going to be there, part of your team on Thanksgiving, giving of their morning, right? They could be with family. Maybe there's a high school football game. Whatever it is, they're sacrificing. How many people are involved on the team? And if you want to shout anybody out, go for it, man.
We have, on that day, too, a lot of the AO1 team is going to be a part but working with us, a lot of people, obviously, our volunteers, the people who serve at the food truck come from Connect Church. So, yeah. I don't know, that day there'll be 30 or 40 people, that'll be there doing it. Nice. And there's going to be hundreds of other people behind the scenes because, we have to pack thousands of bags, with all sorts of goodies and, a book that just talks about how to get connected with Jesus.
Great book, by the way.
Yeah, phenomenal book. It is so good. Yeah. The Surprise of Your Life, written by, Pastor Rick Campana. It's brilliant. And so, yeah, you know, Rob, what you're saying is right. There's something very powerful about going out on Thanksgiving morning and being with people. And it, I know for my own life, it adds so much,
of course it does.
So much value to that day, and really seeing the vast numbers of people across the spectrum of life on those days, and being able to say, God, I'm so thankful where you've placed us, in the time you've placed us, the city you've placed us, in the century you placed us. And thank you for the food that you've given us and the great provision of friends and family. And it's an amazing day. Yeah.
I got to say, my favorite Thanksgiving, and this is kind of selfish of me to say this, because it was right before I met you.
Yeah.
A month before it was probably 2 weeks before I met you. And it was the first time I was really single in a 20-year period of my life.
I mean, wow. What does that tell you? No.
And my mom was not happy with my decision that day because I didn't want to go to my parents' house. I didn't want to go anywhere. Yep. I wanted to go, and I've always had this. I've always had compassion for homeless people in the city.
Yes,
right. I've always had that, and I decided that day after Turkey Bowl, I played the Turkey Bowl with the family, and I came home, and I just made sandwiches. I made sandwiches, and I said, I'm going to go out into the streets in Philly. And my mom's like, why are you not coming to dinner? I was like, this is what I want to do today.
You're so cute.
And but I was going, powerful. But see, I was newly saved. Yeah. It was only 3 months. And I was still going through things in life. And to me, Thanksgiving is always about giving.
Right.
Agreed.
Being thankful.
Agreed.
Right.
Yeah. Being
thankful.
Yes.
And I mean, thankful every single day, multiple times, no matter what is going on. Be thankful. Be thankful through the storm. Be thankful in the good times. Be thankful in the bad times. But giving. Like, giving is essential. And it's not just about, like, okay, go ahead one day, go give food to the homeless. And people, we do that all the time. We think, okay, and I did my part. And for me, I wanted to do it that day. And I've never done it since that day in that capacity. Mm.
I want to do that.
And I've been, how many times we talked to the girls about this?
I know.
When my daughters are young and they're young now, they're 6 years old, but even when they were younger, like 4, 5, 3, whatever, they'd be like, tell me a bedtime story. I wouldn't create a bedtime story about, I would create bedtime stories about princesses named after their middle names who would go out into the streets and give food to people who are hungry.
Wow.
These are the stories I've been telling them. So there's, Princess Bella and Princess Livia, and they're like, they go out and they make sandwiches and they do this, and they've been wanting to do that,
and
you know, here we are, and
okay, well, we're doing
this show on air right now. We're doing it live. We got to go out and do this with the girls so they can live out those stories. Because I honestly don't know any princess stories. I don't know anything else, so I could share anything. It's either me to creating stories like that, or I'm gonna be telling them about.
No,
and they don't want to hear
I only
that,
do
man.
Bible stories with them, so I don't really know.
Yeah, I do love the Bible stories.
Look, I love the fact that, you know, we talk all about, you know, what's in your heart, what's in your hand, what's in your world. And it's like, you know, if what's in your heart, what do you love? What's in your hand? What are you good at? And what's in your world? What's around you? So just being able to take some sandwiches, and you don't have to do it all the time. And I think sometimes we get bogged down in the details. So, all right, if I'm going to do this, how am I going to do this every time? Oh my gosh, there's 6,000 people who are homeless in Philly. How am I going to reach all those people? You don't. If you can make 50 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and go give them out once this year, go do it.
That's great.
It's about being able to just start.
Just do it.
Yeah, just do it.
Hey, be like Nike.
Just do it.
Just go out there. Well, we got to be careful with the peanut butter because of the whole, you
know,
my one
allergy.
Daughter can't have peanut butter in school or make her go sit by herself somewhere. because there's somebody with an allergy, but we're not going to get into that. That's okay.
But yeah. As I told her, you know,
you were
be
so
thankful.
Good with that. She
be
was so
thankful that you don't have any allergies.
Yeah. You were so you good know? With that. I was getting a little fired up. I'm like, well, why are they kicking my girl out of lunch to go eat her sandwich alone? But Remy,
was getting fired up too, right? And Daddy, I was like,
you brought it back.
Right.
God bless you for that.
You should be thankful that you can eat peanut butter. Yeah. That you're not going to go to the hospital if you sniff it or you touch it or you look at it.
That's why we balance each other and compliment me perfectly.
Well, the thing is, this again is personal because I used to have allergies for, check this out, chocolate, banana, and strawberries when I was little.
Oh,
wow.
Let me tell you, this little girl had it tough, okay? Yeah. So I was still eating it.
I'm still eating chocolate.
You're not going to take my chocolate away from me. I was still eating it. And I was breaking out in hives and it was bad. But then by age 16, God is so good to me. He's like, this girl's not going to stop eating it. He took it away. You know?
I better do something.
You're eating and getting a hive.
That's
dog.
Awesome.
Well, hey, we got a really powerful episode. I can't wait for you to hear Ann Byler's story. Jimmy Nelson and I spoke a few years ago for my book, Baseball Faith. He talked about James first. 2 to 4, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And when you hear Anne share her story, it talks about her perseverance, her endurance, her ability to overcome trials, losing a young daughter. So I wanted to put the two together in one episode, man. But this it's such a challenging thing to do, to be joyful in tough times. I feel like we can feel a lot of emotions when adversity comes. Yeah. Joy is probably the last thing on any of our minds. Yeah, sure. There's anger, there's resentment, fear, but joy, like who wants to find joy in trials? But the truth is trials can make us bitter.
Yeah,
or they can make us better.
Yeah, it's true.
Bitter 100%. Or better. And and I have three reasons that I want to share with you guys and share with our audience on why we can consider trials joy. First, trials produce endurance. Mm-hmm. They test our faith.
Yep.
They confirm our faith. They grow our faith, and they grow our trust in God. So what they're doing is trials are building and strengthening our spiritual muscle.
Yes.
Right. Number two, when we endure, we become mature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is what I was doing till 2 a.m. the
good
other
job.
Night.
Come on.
Till 2 a.m. I'm like, y'all, wait, hey, when we endure, we mature. I'm like, I'm enduring right now. It's 2 a.m. in the morning.
Like,
I just watched Monday
Night
Raw.
Hallelujah.
I'm trying to mature right here. I'm going to endure. But when we endure, we mature. We learn. We grow during trials. We gain perspective.
Absolutely.
And our maturity develops. Now, watch this. Number three, we learn that it's more valuable to have spiritual maturity than it is to not face those trials and adversity.
Great.
See, the absence of those, we may think it feels good. The absence of, I don't want to suffer.
Right.
Yes. I don't want to go through trials and adversity.
Right.
But what happens when we endure and we mature and our all of the testing of our faith and the confirmation of our faith, we learn that it's more valuable to have that spiritual maturity. And all of us are going to experience at some point in our lives, we're going to go through suffering. In one way, shape, or form.
At some point.
And it's going to be, we've gone through it.
Common.
It's going to happen. But what we understand is only trusting the Lord will shape us and allow us to receive that gift of salvation.
Yeah, brilliant. I mean, I love what Anne says when she said, I learned early on that life was good, but God was harsh. Completely reversed.
Right.
And really makes all of our focus about, you know, making sure that we live a better life.
Right.
Because obviously God's out to get you. And then go right? Obviously. And then her going through the trial and tribulation, that brings her to this place where she goes, oh, no, life is harsh, but God is good.
Through it all.
Through it all, God is good. And that's, you know, what you said is true, Rob. You know, trials are the seed for new territory. So, you know, we always say, I want new territory. I'm going to stretch my tent wide, you know, the prayer of Jabez. Let me expand my territory. All this stuff that's in Christianese out there. We're going to get bigger. And then what we don't understand is that trial is the seed that actually takes new territory. So there wasn't one giant in the wilderness. Not one giant in the wilderness. Uh-huh. They didn't face a giant until they stepped into the promised land.
All right.
Wow. And so when we want new territory, when we want really new abundant life, that's what the picture of the promised land is. When we want that new, it comes through fighting giants. So, you know, Jericho wasn't the last city that they had to go through. It just was the first city, right? Yeah. So it wasn't the only king. It was the first king. And so there's all this stuff, I think, that we've got to recognize. And it's not that God is against us. Right. I think, you know, these trials help us to become what you just said, mature. Yeah. And they show us what we're not so that we become who he made us to be.
Yeah, and there's always, always, always a promised land in the end.
Always.
There is always, even though there's a trial right now, your job is to hold on to Jesus and let him walk you through it, because there is a promised land in the end. You know, I always say, like, watch out for the people that are going through some bad stuff. Watch out for them, because let me tell you, once they get over that, watch out.
Yeah, exactly.
They are going to come out and they're going to change the world, because these people, just like Anne, she's out to change the world.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Like, she's forget the pretzels, man.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yes.
The pretzels were great. But, you know, I was thinking about it, and the pretzel is an intertwine shape.
Yeah.
Yes, correct.
It's so funny that she made that, you know, that's the pretzel shape, and that was her life from before. Like, she was intertwined. Mm, she was is a close circle for her.
Yeah.
And then she had to let go of that. Mm. And she...
So good.
She's done with the intertwining.
Yeah,
with something that held her back. And then that was a season that that season really delivered her from a lot of things. Because
tremendous amount, right?
She walked through so much, but then she had to let go of that season, of that intertwining season, and she's like, I'm intertwining with God now. I'm out to change the world. I'm out to release people from that pretzel shape.
Yes.
You know, and listen, if you're listening, Anne, your pretzels are the bomb. I love them.
The bomb. Love them.
Let me tell you,
whoever
decided to put almond on that, God bless them.
Yes,
God bless
so
them.
Good.
They are, they're going to, heaven is wide open.
Is it you or Lexi who likes the pepperoni one?
I love the pepperoni too.
I'll eat any of this. There's not one pretzel that is bad. Yeah, I'll eat them all.
Right. But the thing is, like, I really love that God called her to let go of that business and now starting something that's far bigger than a pretzel.
Yeah.
You know, but the pretzel was just kind of the element that kind of needed to hold on to get her through that season.
Yeah, you know, Remy,
the
Bible
says
that God is a refiner's fire, right?
Yeah.
And we love that concept of the purity that comes from the refiner's fire.
Mm-hmm.
But that is a process of going through trial after trial after trial to get the stuff out of us that is dross, right? So when you put raw silver into a furnace, what rises to the top is all the ore that isn't pure, and they scoop it out, and then they refine it again. And
I didn't know that.
They scoop it out, and then they refine it again, right?
There.
And then they scoop it out. So it's the same. That's the same thing in our lives. It's not, you know, we think, well, I already went through a fire. Yeah, because that was just the first dross.
Surface fire.
Yeah. So when they talk about, 24 karat gold, what's the difference between 12 karat gold and 18 karat gold and 24
I'll tell
karat
you,
gold?
It's so good.
It is the hallelujah. It shines better.
That's forever.
Is that the gold stayed in the fire longer?
Right.
It went through more process. It got all the dross, all the other elements that are ore that are in there out. And it's not because God doesn't love us. It is because there are things still in us that he wants to get out so that we can become the purity of what he's called us to be.
I think of all the difficulties that so many different people that we've had on this show over the course of the 3 years, and what Doug went through, Doug Horton went through, and losing his child, and Anne losing her child, and then the evolution of doing this show. And then sometimes, like, I try and think and go, comparing trials. And I don't want to compare trials.
You can't do it.
I don't want to compare your trial and his trial and my trial and that trial, because we all hurt differently.
Correct.
Right? So if we hurt differently, what we consider a trial, someone else may not, or what we consider something that is difficult on our life. Somebody else may be like, "Ah, that's not a big deal. I can get through it."
Yeah.
Trials look different for all of us.
Of course.
My trial, your trial, her trial, all of our trials look different.
Right.
And but the importance is when you're going through that trial to understand that God, as Anne said, hey, he's not harsh.
No.
He doesn't want you to suffer. And I just feel so, I feel really bad for a lot of people who grew up in the fearing God mentality of theology.
Yeah. God is harsh.
Right? Yeah. When you are fearful of God, we just had Darren Mulligan on from We Are Messengers a couple weeks ago. And when we spoke to him and he talked about when he first accepted Christ, he did it out of fear. I don't want to go to hell.
Right.
But you can't do it out of fear.
Right.
And I think of, you know, I grew up a little bit in that environment where if you don't please God, if you don't do what you're supposed to do, if you don't follow these commands, well, then you're not going to get your eternal reward in heaven.
Yeah.
You're going to be judged based on this checklist. And that theology is very hurtful.
Oh, yeah.
It's not true. And I would just love for you to speak on that a little bit, because people will go, well, show me. This is all I know.
Yeah.
This is all I know. Explain for everyone out there, Kyle. I mean, you could do it better than anyone.
Oh, man,
that is such a fallacy.
Yeah, look, I mean, the cross dealt with all sin. And it dealt with all the punishment for sin.
Yeah.
So we are either saved by the work of Jesus or we're trying to add to the work of Jesus. And we cannot do anything to add to the work of Jesus. The work of the cross is complete in and of himself. So, you know, that's why Paul can tell us that all wrath of God is gone. There is no judgment. When you're in Christ, there is no judgment left for you. None, zero. When it says none, it means none.
Yeah.
So, you know, the book of Revelation says that we are saved because our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. So we don't face, when you come to Jesus Christ, you don't ever have to worry about facing judgment any longer when it comes to eternal judgment of salvation.
Yeah.
We certainly will stand at what, you know, Paul refers to as the Bema Seat of Christ. And the Bema Seat is a term that they used for the judge at the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
He was the person who stood at the finish line and actually judged who came in first, second, and third.
That's
so,
cool.
I mean, in today's, it's the electric eye. It's the end zone cam, right? The pylon cam. That's actually what it is. So he's not talking about those who haven't finished the race. He's talking about, hey, now that you finished the race, now that you're in heaven, let me actually give to you what your life has produced, right? Now I deal with rewards. My rewards, my fruit. So, you know, the Bible talks about there'll be some who built their life on gold, silver, and precious stones, and their reward will look different. And those who built on wood, hay, and stubble, and although they got in as if through fire, they're in, but there's no reward.
Yeah.
So what we do has no effect on our eternal salvation. Mm-hmm. It certainly has effect on people's, it has an effect on our intimacy with God here. It has an effect on our wholeness and health here.
Right.
It has an effect on our abundant life here. It has an effect on whether other people will experience eternity, could experience eternity or not.
Yes.
But it has nothing to do with that. And so, when you get that, when you really get it, there's such a peace now that says, I'm not trying to run this race to prove to God I'm worthy enough to get in. I'm running this race for his pleasure now. Do you remember the old movie? I don't know if you guys saw it, but back in the 80s, there was a movie called Chariots of Fire, and it was about Eric Little, who was an Olympic runner.
I know
you were like, you know, four. I get it, whatever. I'm old. But Eric Little, who's an Olympic runner, he doesn't run on Sunday. Because he believes that that's God's day. And that was the day he was meant to, that was the 100 meter dash. He was favored to win that.
Yeah.
And instead he runs the 400. And the story is that he wins that. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing story. But his statement is this: when I run, I feel his pleasure. Mm-hmm. When I run, I feel his pleasure. And for me, if we can grab a hold of that and say, when we run this race here, it's not about proving to God that we deserve heaven.
Yeah.
It's running the race so that he feels pleasure in our life. God, I just want you to feel pleasure. With my love of other people, I want you to feel pleasure. With my forgiveness of other people, I want you to feel pleasure. With, you know, how I live my life in holiness, I want you to feel pleasure. It's not about me at all. It's actually all about you.
Amen. Beautiful, beautiful. When we come back, you're going to hear Jimmy Nelson and Ann Byler. This is Faith on a Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Cairn University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Cairn prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at cairn.edu.
Welcome back to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Cairn University. Rob Remy and Pastor Kyle. I want to take a minute to thank all of our sponsors. We can't do this without your support, so please check them out on our sponsor page at faithonafieldshow.com and follow them on social media. They are great companies and even better people, so thank you to Cairn University, Heritage's Dairy Store, Shady Maple, Weather Trends 360, California Closets, Spirit Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Swedesboro, Restelli Foods Group, Narstown Hospitality Center, Brenda Lee Uchler and Associates, and Oliver Heating and Cooling. Let me tell you about Oliver. The cold weather is here, and I needed to make sure my family stayed warm at home this winter. We had an old gas furnace that I didn't trust to get us through another season of freezing temperatures. So I reached out to Oliver Heating and Cooling, and I couldn't be happier. Dan came over for an estimate, and we hit it off right away. Just a great guy who knew exactly what my home needed. A couple days later, Scott and Matt installed a high-efficient modulating gas furnace. They did an awesome job. They went above and beyond to make sure everything was perfect, even made sure I understood all the wireless features and everything else. I've had a lot of bad experiences over the years, but now I know I will never have to worry about heating, cooling, plumbing, or electrical needs because I fully trust Oliver. They're a family-run business rooted in strong faith and have been committed to providing superior service for nearly 50 years. I absolutely love Oliver's mission to build a trusting, long-term relationship with our associates and serve our clients' indoor comfort needs by honoring God in all we do and treating others as we want to be treated. They are simply the best. If you're in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, or Delaware, look for the White Dove and call Oliver at 888-433-1574 to schedule an appointment today for any maintenance or installation for your HVAC, plumbing, or electrical needs. Right now, Oliver is offering a special deal, only $69.95 for a heating tune-up for new customers, and you can save up to $1,850 on the new installation of a heating and air conditioning system. So schedule an appointment today with my guys at Oliver Heating and Cooling. Call 888-433-1574. That's 888-433-1574. Or email them at oliverheatcool.com. Oliver, comfort you can trust. Our first guest this week is Major League Baseball pitcher Jimmy Nelson. Jimmy made his debut with the Milwaukee Brewers in 2013. He had his best season in 2017, going 12-6 with a 3.49 ERA. However, that September, he suffered a major injury sliding back to first base after a hit. He had to have surgery for a torn rotator cuff and torn labrum. He missed the entire 2018 season, and he returned briefly last year. I spoke to Jimmy for my book, Baseball Faith, a few years ago. Here is that interview.
James 1, 2, 3, 4 is just, it can apply to everybody, you know. It's not, everybody in the world has gone through some kind of trial or tribulation, some kind of tragedy, no matter how big or small it is, that's kind of shaped them to who they are and strengthened their faith. So the thing that hits me hard with that verse is it says, consider it pure joy when you face trials and tribulations. I mean, how many times do you face trials and tribulations and you're like, oh yeah, you know, like you're happy about it?
Maybe when you overcome it, but not at the time,
you know. So it's especially in this game, in this business, that's a big game that's built on failure and adjustments and stuff. That's definitely something that hits home. And also, I've, there's been things in my past that trials and tribulations that I've had to overcome. Definitely strengthened my faith. Definitely, made me into a better person.
Did you grow up in the church, or is it something that?
Yeah, I grew up from Niceville, Florida, Northwest Florida. Always had a, we always went to church and stuff. But
as I've gotten older, especially in college when I got to Alabama, had a really good FCA leader. We had a really good group at FCA. That's really, I did a lot of growth there, and then kind of through pro ball and stuff. But you know, I kind of learned that it's not necessarily, you know, oh, I have to go every Sunday at this time. You know, it's not so much of like a scheduled thing where you pay your dues type deal. It's just, you know, it's more about the personal time you have. Yep. And so that's one thing I think that's important. It kind of gets lost in the shuffle with some people sometimes, but I think it's more about the quality time as opposed to, you know, how many times you go to church a month.
That's absolutely right. I spent a lot of time physically there.
Yeah.
Wasn't there
right.
It wasn't
twice. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I actually, in my journey, it really took off.
Yeah. That's the same thing with me, too. You know, and also, I felt like there was a lot of growth in college, too, because I was around, you know, peers in my same situation, same age group, you know, athletes. And so we were all in similar situations. We had similar, you know, successes and failures, so it's good to kind of be around that kind of people, you know, hold each other accountable and stuff like that.
That was Jimmy Nelson, Milwaukee Brewers pitcher. Our second guest this week is Ann Byler. She is the founder of Annie Ann's Pretzels. Ann shared her powerful testimony in our conversation recently. Here is that interview. Ann, you are best known as the founder of Annie Ann's Pretzels, which is the world's largest pretzel franchise. But before you got there and before you achieved that success, there was a lot of years that you had to go through some difficulties, some despair, some depression. But the Lord delivered you from all that. Can you share with our audience part of your story and what happened and how you got to be where you are?
Sure, I'd be happy to. I grew up, Robin, in the Amish culture in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, on a farm, and there was 8 of us kids. And, you know, the basic message for us back in the day was, you know, to love God, keep His commandments, and, you know, be kind and respect everyone. My mom and dad took me to church, as is the custom for the Amish Mennonite culture. And in that culture, I really got to know God. I knew the plan of salvation, and but the overarching message was God is good. I'm sorry. The overarching message is life is good, and God is harsh. Mm. And it sort of stemmed out of the Ten Commandments. And if you do it all just right, then God will bless you. But if you don't do it just right, He may be displeased with you. So that was my theology back in the day, and which there's many things about the Amish culture that I love, appreciate, and totally respect. But I feel like that one little seed that was planted in my heart was that if I can't really talk about, if I'm not perfect and I do something wrong and I can't talk about it, then that means that I have to live a life of secrets about how I'm really feeling and who I really am.
Wow. And when you went through some tough times and reached that point of contemplating that, you know, there is no way out or there is no hope, how did you come out of that?
Well, then I was married at a very young age, and we had our 19-month-old Angela Joy was killed tragically and instantly on our little farm at that time. And so I didn't understand if I was a good girl, you know, life is good and God is harsh. That was bad theology, and I didn't understand if I was so good and I was doing all the right things, I was trying, you know, why did this happen? And so I was not prepared for the tragedy or the trauma that tragedy brought, which I know today that tragedy and trauma changes us. So my theology being, believing that way, I really went into a very dark place the day that Angie was killed. She made her ascent into heaven. I made my gradual descent into a world of spiritual confusion and emotional pain, which then, because I really couldn't talk about my deep grief, my husband and I could no longer connect in any way. Mm-hmm. Out of that grief, then I ended up going to see my pastor, who invited me to his office to just talk about, you know, what had happened to me. And that was my invitation it was actually the very first time I was invited to talk about how I really feel. And before I left his office that day, he took advantage of me. And as a grieving mama and as a someone in deep grief and confusion,
wow.
I decided after he took advantage of me that I would never tell anyone. That would be my secret until I'll take it with me to my grave, because I knew that nobody would believe me and nobody would understand.
Oh, my goodness. And from there, there's forgiveness and there
absolutely.
Is absolute grace. And tell us about that and reconciling with your husband along the way.
Yes, so, you know, we serve a good God. What I know today is that life is hard. God is good. I don't confuse the two anymore. Mm. I'm so glad that I know that today. Yes, so coming out of that, so my secret kept me in a over 6-year-long relationship with my pastor, ongoing abuse of every kind. And I lived in this world of, I lived in two worlds. I lived in the church world, and I lived in a very, very dark world that I knew nothing about. But I can tell you, I learned how to make my way around in this dark world. The tools that Satan gives to you to live in that world are tools of lies and deception and pretending and secrets and all these things. I learned how to live there. Mm. But, you know, I was dying a little bit every day. But during that time, I discovered there were three types of confession that I learned in my own desperation. And the first type of confession is what we do as believers. We know that God loves us. No matter what happens, we know he loves us. And what we do is we talk to him. And I call it the bedside prayers because it's what I did every single day, asking God to forgive me, number one, and number two, to deliver me. I did not understand abuse, sexual abuse. I didn't understand the term spiritual abuse, clergy abuse. I didn't understand any of that. So I was in this place of, like, I didn't really understand what was happening. But I know clearly today what was happening to me. But I learned these three types, the bedside prayers. I also learned how to do the journaling, which was to write out how I'm feeling, like the psalmist David did. And then the third type of a confession was found in James 5:16. It says, confess your faults, your sins, your struggles, your cares, your burdens, your anger, whatever it is, one to another. That's what we do as believers. We need to confess, talk to one another. And in that way, we connect with one another. And in that way, we can fellowship with one another. And that was one of the hardest things that I ever did, was to actually do the one to another confession. At the end of about 7 years, God said, get up off your knees, Anne, and go tell your husband. Do the one to another confession. Let me tell you, it was the hardest thing that I had ever done up to that point. But I found the courage and the guts. It took just plain down. I didn't want to do that. I wanted to stay on my knees, and I wanted to keep journaling. But God said, get up and confess. So what I did was I went to my husband, and I disclosed. I just gave him the truth about what was happening in my life. And, well, that is what changed my life. It changed the trajectory
wow.
of my future in a way that to this day, I'm still surprised at the power of one simple, hard confession that I did that day many years ago.
That's incredible. And your husband, Jonas, had this vision. He wanted to help other people. And from there, that vision led you to finding and building the franchise that became Annie Ann's Pretzel Factory. could you have ever imagined when you were going through those tough times, those lows and those moments of despair, that you would eventually have that kind of success professionally?
Oh, my, no. No, life was over for me at 35. There was no future for
me.
Wow. I had no idea that in all of that, God was out of our pain. God was forming a purpose for us.
Mm.
And I never would have known that one single very hard confession was the beginning of God's redemptive plan for our lives. And that redemptive plan included Auntie Anne's, which I would never have dreamed of. I would never have thought about it. I would never have known that one day I would be a businesswoman. I would be in the corporate world and involved and the owner of an international franchise. I would never have dreamed it. But God had a plan for us that went beyond our wildest expectations. And as I began the Auntie Anne's, Jonas began to, he was studying to become a counselor, a layman's counselor. Mm-hmm. He wanted to help other people with their marriages and their families with their difficulties. And he began to do that as a free service in our small community in Gap, in our church, in our home, whoever would come to him. And it was a free service. And after only a month of that, I realized that we're really not okay financially. I need to go to work. And that's when I went to work. And I discovered hand-rolled soft pretzels in a farmer's market in Downingtown, Pennsylvania. And that's when Auntie Anne's was born. But I went to work to make the dough so that Jonas could keep doing his counseling as a free service.
How awesome is our God? That is amazing.
Amen.
And incredible. And then eventually you say in 2005, you sold the business, the franchise, because you wanted it to focus on leadership and purpose and power of confession and becoming a speaker. That had to be a difficult decision when you're having so much success in a professional world to walk away. Did you feel the Holy Spirit calling you, God calling you to a new chapter of your life?
Absolutely. You know, there are seasons in our life. And when during that time at Auntie Anne's, we were, I would say, probably at the peak of our success. There was really no reason for us to sell the company at that time. But in my heart, I knew that there was more and that God wanted us to surrender that, sell it, so that we could move on to do to serve God in a different way. Auntie Anne's was truly a ministry that God gave to us because we believe that we could take God into the workplace and be salt and light there. But I also understood my limitations, my longing, and my purpose became more clear to me as time went on. And I really wanted to speak. I wanted to write a book. And we wanted to build a family counseling center in Gap. And so we sold the company for another purpose and for another season. And it was, let me tell you, it was a great struggle. We thought about it for almost 2 years, prayed about it, and received counsel about it. But at the end of the day, we felt really strongly that God wanted us to sell the company and move on into something else.
In 2018, you founded Broken Silence, and the mission is teaching and equipping women about living a lifestyle of confession. Tell me about Broken Silence and the power of what you are trying to help women understand and realize.
Well, you know, many years ago, the Lord really impressed on me is that I don't want you to speak out of your intellect. I only want you to speak out of your experience. And since that day, I've found great joy and great satisfaction and great purpose in speaking about our experience and how I was able to overcome and to be able to share this with women. Because listen, as I'm out there in the churches, in the workplace, in business places, I see and sense the need for women to be free indeed. We all struggle with life, and we all want to put on our best face, and we want to put our best foot forward, and we want people to think that we're doing well. And I really understand what that's like, because for many years, I looked really good on the outside. I was in the middle of great success, and I was doing very well, and nobody would have guessed the struggle within. So my greatest success was really not Auntie Anne's, the company, but it was Auntie Anne, the person. And if I can help women to begin to deal with their issues from within, the internal struggles that we face, as we do that, we become real and we begin to share and we begin to open up and tell our stories. That really makes us stronger within, and then we can really become all that God wants us to be. Living a life of pretending and living alone, we die, connected, we live, and being ashamed and living with pain and blame and shame, it really keeps us from becoming all that we can be. And my goal and my vision and my mandate, I feel like, is to help women understand that to be able to share your story and to be able to be open and honest and just simply confess our faults, our struggles to one another, that's how we overcome. That's how you overcome secrets. That's how you overcome lies. And that's how you begin to live in the truth. As we bring all of our deeds into the light, we then begin to have this kind of fellowship that is much broader and much grander than what I ever imagined. And it's really a free indeed life. And I want women to understand the power of this one to another confession, because it takes us into a whole other world that makes life full of joy and full of purpose and full of great satisfaction.
And all of these powerful teachings are in your new book, The Secret Lies Within, which is, I imagine it's available everywhere, wherever books are sold, on Amazon.
Yes. Okay. Yes, Amazon.com. And you can also go to my website, AntieAnnBeiler.com, and you can see everything that you need to know about my life and what we're doing right now. But The Secret Lies Within is a great book. It's a book about overcoming trauma and helping women understand what abuse really looks like and how we can overcome and how we can learn this lifestyle of confession. The new view of confession. I love it because it's broader than just saying, oh, I'm sorry about what I did wrong. But it's really meant to set us free and take us into a whole new life of freedom.
Ann Beiler, thank you so much for your honesty, your transparency, your willingness to share such a powerful story with us. We truly appreciate it.
Thank you so much. It's my honor.
That was Ann Beiler. Ann will be sharing her story at the Gloucester County Mayor's Prayer Breakfast at Auletto's Catering in Woodbury, New Jersey at 7 a.m. Thursday, December 5th. Tickets can be purchased at gcprayercommittee.org, and Doug will also be there emceeing. We'll wrap things up next on Faith on a Field Show, presented by Karen University.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Karen University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Karen is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Karen is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at karen.edu/visit.
And welcome back to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Karen University. Rob Motti, Pastor Kyle, and Remy. I want to thank all of our listeners and followers. Big thanks to Jimmy Nelson and Ann Beiler. Thank you to our EVP of Business Operations, Doug Horton. And a huge thank you to Pastor Scott Foreman for his excellent work on our website, podcast, blog, everything he does to make us present a whole lot better. Jim Henderson, thank you for the work behind the scenes. Thanks to Brett and Ryan for producing the show. Thank you to 610 ESPN Philly, 107.5 Alive, and Joy FM Sports for airing Faith on a Field, presented by Karen University. For Remy and Kyle, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.